Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, we've been in Matthew chapter 7 for a couple of weeks now, looking at what Jesus was preaching here in Matthew chapter 7. If you remember, he gave some choices that everybody has to make. He talked about where everybody has to choose between the path of destruction or the way of life. He also told us that we have to choose between false teachers and truth. And we also have to choose on who we're going to trust to get us to heaven. Either we're going to trust in ourselves and our works, or we're going to trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody has a choice to make. Amen? Amen. But the Lord has given us the right choices to make. That's what he tells you right there. He says that we are to choose the way of life. We are to go through the straight gate. He's told us which way to go, but how many of you understand that we always don't do as we're told to do? Amen? We've kind of been like that since kids. Amen? And so we don't always do that. But it's important when it comes to salvation that, you know, a lot of people are going to tell you a lot of different things, but there's one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. No other way to heaven. All right? Now, in Matthew chapter 7, you'll notice what we're going to read this morning is very similar. It's the same passage that we read last week. It says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for your word. And Lord, help us to see just how important it is, Lord, to read our Bibles, to study our Bibles, to rightly divide our Bibles. Lord, help us to always just have a love for your word that we may grow closer to you, Lord, and learn more about you. And so, Father, this morning I just pray that through your word you speak to us, Lord, the message that you would have us to hear. Help us to grow by your word this morning. And Lord, if there happens to be anybody here, Lord, that has not called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, Lord, I pray they'll do that today. Certainly there are many people today that say that there are many different ways to heaven, but Lord, you said that you are the way. And Lord, we know that there's no other way other than you. And so Lord, I just pray this morning, if there's somebody that's not saved, Lord, I pray you'll just convict their heart, Lord, and show them, Lord, that they need a Savior. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, like I said, we've been here in Matthew chapter 7 for a couple of weeks now, and last week we not only saw the choices that the Lord talked about, but we also saw how everyone will build their life on one of two foundations. Everybody, it's either you will build your life on the foundation of sand, which is unstable, or you will build your life on the solid rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. A lot of people today, how many of you know a lot of people today teach that rock is Peter? It's not Peter, it's Christ. And that even Peter said that it was Christ. And so we know that before you build any house, the one thing you have to have is a foundation. And to build a house without a foundation, or to build a house with the wrong foundation, would be really silly, because when the storms come, that house is going to fall, and great will be the fall of it. Just think how it would be if you do not have a good foundation under you today at your house. I mean, when the rains would come, all of a sudden everything gets soft, and the ground would get all soft, and the next thing you know, the house that you built wouldn't last very long if you didn't have a good foundation. And so it's really important that you have a foundation to build your house on, and it's important that you make it the right foundation. And certainly we need to have a foundation before we can start to build. And you know, it just can't be any foundation. It must be Jesus Christ. He must be the foundation that you have this morning. Now listen, if your life is based on anything other, if your foundation in your life is based on anything other than Jesus Christ, if you're resting on anything else in this life to get you to heaven other than Jesus Christ, you are on the wrong foundation. One of these days, judgment is going to come, and when judgment comes, your house had better be built on the rock, or down it's going to come. Now, there have been many times that I've asked people whether or not they think they're going to go to heaven when they die. And many times people will tell me, well, you know, I've been a good dad, I've been a good mom, I've tried to live a good life. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to put their foundation on sand. Because, listen, there are a lot of people today that are good mothers and good dads, and we need good mothers and good dads. But that won't give you to get you to heaven. Amen? It's only the rock. Only having the right foundation, Jesus Christ, will get you to heaven. Now, once a person is saved and his foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, he is to continue to build on that foundation. In other words, a person gets saved today, okay, now that person has the right foundation. He's got Jesus Christ as his foundation. He's going to make it to heaven. But what is he supposed to do now that he's a Christian? That's a great question for a lot of people who just get saved. It's like, now that I'm saved, what am I supposed to do? That's the reason we are to disciple people. That's the reason we're to teach them the Bible, so that way they learn how to live as a Christian, how to please God with their lives. And that's what really we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ until the Lord takes us home. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be doing. And that is basically building a godly life, building the life that God wants us to have. And as we're Christians, as we're growing, as we're building this godly life, the Bible says that we are being conformed to the image of Christ. You say, well, what should my house look like when it's all done? When it's all over, when my house is completely built, what should it look like? It should look like its foundation. It should look like Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Now listen, you're never going to be done building your house on this side of eternity. You know, and we're going to look why that is in here in just a minute. But you're never going to be done building your house. One of these days you're going to be done, but it ain't going to be on this side of eternity. Okay, and by that, according to 1 John, we'll see him and we will be as he is. Okay, and so we are to continue to build our life on this foundation. Now, when you look at your Bible and you read your Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we learn that, you know, God can do all things. Amen? I mean, anything that God wants to do, he can do. And certainly he can dwell any place that he chooses to dwell. But because, you know, because God is, you know, his word is absolutely true, we're told in the Old Testament that God, you know, we're told where he dwelt, and we're told why he dwelt there. Now, when you read in your Old Testament, you'll find out that from Exodus to 2 Samuel, that God chose his dwelling place to be while he was here with his people in the holiest of holies when the tabernacle was built. Remember back in the Old Testament, they made the tabernacle and it was a portable tabernacle. They would set it up and they'd have all the curtains and everything. And God was very specific on how that tabernacle was supposed to be put together, who could go into what area of that tabernacle. But where God dwelt amongst his people when that tabernacle was on this earth, he dwelt in the holiest of holies, in the holy place there, and only the high priest could come into that place where God dwelt, okay? And that's the way it was then. Then, as you continue to read, as time went on, you'll find out that later the temple was built. And when that temple was built, we know that it was Solomon that built that temple. And when he built that temple, it was basically the tabernacle, but then it was a solid building. In other words, they weren't going to carry it around anymore once they entered into the promised land. And when you read about that temple, it was one magnificent building. When you read about all the things that were used to make that dwelling place, that temple where God was going to be still in that, where he was going to dwell still in that holiest of holies, I mean, it had all this gold. It had all this silver. It had all these different things. And so God chose to live there during the Old Testament. But today, in the New Testament, how many of you know where God chooses to dwell? He chooses to dwell in us. That's where he dwells today. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that ye and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Now, because Christ dwells in us as believers, and because we are his dwelling place, we should make our bodies in the best dwelling place that we could possibly make for him. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, after all, do you know how? I mean, when God gave the specifics on how to make that temple and how to make the things of that temple, he gave specific instructions. Why did he do that? Because this was his dwelling place. Now listen, whenever you have your house, aren't you the one that say, well, listen, I want my cabinet, I want my china cabinet to be here. I want my TV to be here. I want my microwave over here in the kitchen. Aren't we the ones that decide exactly how we want our house to be set up? That's the way God is too. That's the reason he was very specific in the Old Testament. He said, listen, I want this right here to be made of a certain thing and a certain size. And I want this thing over here to be made of this in a certain way. And over here, and he was very specific. Now, sometimes when we're reading that, we're like, oh man, I can't read this late at night because it's so redundant. Yes, because God's telling Moses or telling Solomon exactly how he wanted his house. He wanted a certain way. And they had to do that. He had to do it exactly the way God told him to do it. But when the temple was done, it was a magnificent building. I mean, it was gold here and there was silver in there. Bible has said that there was even goodly stones in there. And so you had all these things. Why? Because this was a house fit for a king. This was a house that God said, this is going to be where I dwell, and it's going to look good because I'm God. Amen? What I'm trying to say is this, is God didn't want to live in a shack. He didn't want to live in some place to where, you know, I tell you what, just take a couple of old beat up 2x4s here, nail them together, and make me a cot and I'll lay in it. That wasn't it at all. God said, listen, if I'm going to dwell in it, it's going to look good. It's going to be the way I want it. And so what we do is we read in the Old Testament, we see how they went through all these things and how they everything was very specific on how he made the temple. And that's how we read it. Now you say, well, what's the big deal? What is the big deal about the temple then? Well, what I'm trying to tell you is this, is God was very specific in how he wanted that temple, and he wanted that temple to glorify him and glorify his name. And when people looked at that temple, they would look at it and say, wow, God must dwell in that thing because look at it. May I tell you the day that we should present our bodies the same way. The lives we live today should glorify God the same way that temple glorified God back in the Old Testament. Why? Because it's where God dwells. It's where God dwells. Now, I'm not much of a carpenter, and there are many of you who would attest to that, but there are some things that I do know. For example, I do know that when you build a house, you begin at the foundation, and then you add things to that foundation. You put up the frame, you put up the walls, then you add trusses to the frame, and then you add roof decking on those trusses, and then you roll out your tar paper on the roof, and then you put shingles on, things like that. Now, I never said I could do it. I just understand how it's done, okay? Eventually, if you keep on building onto that foundation, you're going to have a house, eventually. But it is a lot of work. And, you know, the building, a godly life is kind of the same way. You build on that foundation, you add one thing to another, and then add another thing to another, and then so on and so on. So this morning, what I want to show you is here in Matthew chapter 7, we looked at how important the foundation is. We looked at how we're supposed to have our lives built upon Jesus Christ, the rock. But today I want to show you that once you are saved, and once you do have that foundation, we're not supposed to just stop. In other words, you just don't pour a foundation and stop. I remember years ago, a friend of mine was living out in Highwood. And so he let me stay in his trailer out in Highwood. And for those people that have ever been out there, it's not quite in Highwood. You cross the creek, you get into other county. As you come up that creek, after you cross Belt Creek, you kind of come up and you make a bend to the right, is that there was land over to the left. And at the time, he owned it, so he let us lease that land. And he had a trailer there, and we stayed there. In fact, we stayed there until the heater went out in that trailer and we had to move because my son had just been born and it was wintertime. So anyway, we stayed out there. Well, then I left, and then when I came back, you know, we ended up moving away from there, and then one day we're out there traveling around and I wanted to see the old place. When we went out there, they had removed some of the buildings, removed that trailer, and they had actually poured a foundation out there. But the person who poured it wouldn't do anything with it. And all the weeds and everything had grown up. But there was a foundation there. In other words, he planned on building a house, but he just, for some reason, he didn't do it. And they ended up selling the land and everything else. And I was thinking to myself, man, what a waste. Because this foundation was huge. I don't know what kind of house he had in his mind, but this foundation was huge. And I would have loved to have seen the house that was built. But I never got to see it. Why? Because that foundation was poured, and then that was it. May I tell you, that's not the way it's supposed to be with a Christian life. Once you get saved, you just don't stop. You got to start building. Now, there are Christians today that once they get saved, they don't ever do anything else. They never read their Bibles. They never do anything else. They're not building upon that foundation. We are supposed to always be building upon that foundation. In other words, it's not enough just to get saved. We need to build upon our faith. And that's what we're told to do in the Bible. So when we build upon those things, there are some things that the Bible tells us about building this life that we're supposed to build. And really, the Bible gives us three basic truths that we need to remember when it comes to building our godly life after we have the right foundation. And the first truth that we need to understand is this, that just as the temple was built with the right materials, the materials that God wanted, remember, in the Old Testament, he was specific on what those things were supposed to be made of, what those things were supposed to be covered with, everything. He was very specific. Well, when it comes to us building our lives and building upon our foundation, building that house, just as the temple was built with the right materials, we are to use the right materials too. In other words, we're supposed to be using the materials that God wants us to use to build our lives, to build our house upon the foundation that God has already given us, the foundation Jesus Christ. You say, well, what are those right materials? Well, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are to use the right materials. In other words, there are the materials that God wants us to use, and then there are materials that God does not want us to use. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look if you would, starting at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. I'll wait till everybody gets there. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, Paul says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." In other words, now that you have a foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ, and you're saved, you need to take heed of how you build thereon, on that foundation. Verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Now what he's saying is this: we are God's temple. We're the place that he's dwelling today. Look at verse 17. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Now what he's saying is this, is that now God does not dwell in the temple like he did in the Old Testament. He's not dwelling in Solomon's temple that was made with all that gold and that silver and the goodly stones. Today he's dwelling in us. And because he's dwelling in us, listen, we have the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. If you're saved here today, you have the foundation of Jesus Christ, but now we are to start to build upon that foundation. And when we build upon that foundation, we can either use, like they did with the temple back in the Old Testament, gold, silver, and precious stones, or we can build upon that foundation and use wood, hay, and stubble. May I tell you, there are a lot of people today, a lot of Christians today, that are using wood, hay, and stubble to build their Christian lives. And you know what they've done? They made it to where the Lord is living in a shack. They made it to where the Lord is living in a wooden shack out there that isn't very valuable, and it doesn't bring glory to God. Listen, our lives should bring glory to God. Our life should be that gold, silver, and precious stones. When we build upon this foundation, when we build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we build our godly lives, we are to use what God wants us to use. And that's the good things, the things of value. We're not supposed to degrade ourselves. I tell you this, folks, when a Christian goes out there and he lives like the world, and he does the things of the world, he's not building his life with gold, silver, and precious stones. He's building it with wood, hay, and stubble. And he's not bringing glory to God. He's bringing dishonor to God. May I tell you that as Christians, we have the greatest opportunity in the world, and that is to glorify God that's within us and to give him a dwelling that's fit for a king. But there are a lot of people today who don't live like that. A lot of people today, they say, well, you know, I now that I save, I can live any way I want to. And they just go out and live any way they want to. But listen, God's still indwelling in you. And we ought to make our, listen, when you go back to the Old Testament, you see that the children of Israel, they wanted that temple to be exactly the way God wanted it. They wanted that temple to be, to glorify God. They wanted that temple to be, when people looked at it, they're saying, that's where the God of the children of Israel dwells. Wow, look at that. They even said that when the sun would come up and actually hit the temple, they could see it for miles and miles and miles just to glow from it. Can you imagine the glory that that brought God? That's how we're supposed to be too. Our lives should glorify him in everything that we do. Everything that we add to our lives, everything that we build our lives, it should be godly things. We should live our lives based on the word of God. That's gold, silver, precious stones. That's how we're to build our lives. But so many Christians, they aren't building it with gold, silver, and precious stones. They're building it with wood, hay, and stubble. And what they're doing is they're making the King of Kings abode in a hut, when he should be abiding in something that brings him glory. He deserves to abode in a place fit for a king. He deserves to abode in a place made up of gold, silver, and precious stones, something to honor him. For many Christians today, they don't care about those things, but we should. We should. And so the first thing that we need to understand is this, is that our building, when we're building our godly life, when we're building upon that foundation, we need to make sure we use the right materials. The materials fit for a king. Not just a board here, you know, in some grass over there. We should care more about Jesus than that. We should care enough about him to say, hey, listen, if he's going to dwell in me, I'm going to give him a place that would honor him. And that's how we are to live. So the first thing is we need to use the right materials when we're building the lives that God wants us to build, when we build upon that foundation. The second thing that the passages tell you is that we've already been given all the things, all the materials that are needed in order to build the life that God wants us to live. The moment you got saved, you received the foundation, that's Jesus Christ. And you also received all the materials you could ever need to build a godly life. I'll prove that to you. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now think about this. Jesus was a carpenter, amen? Do you think Jesus knew how to build a house? Probably did. Now think about this. We are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And he deserves, 2 Peter, he deserves a place that glorifies him. And the Lord, God's word tells us that we are to use the right materials. Now remember, Jesus is a carpenter. Do you think Jesus is going to know the materials we're supposed to use? Absolutely. Do you think that he knows how to put those materials together? Absolutely. Now, let me tell you something. I'm the world's worst carpenter. But I bet you, compared to Jesus, everybody here is the world's worst carpenter. Amen? Jesus knows how to put it all together. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to show you that we've already been given all the materials that we could ever need to build the life that God wants us to build when we build upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And when it says hath given, that's past tense. In other words, the moment you were saved, the Lord gave you all the materials that you would ever need to build upon that foundation. He gave you all. You know, sometimes when a person's building a house, I notice what they'll do is they'll contact the lumber company and they'll say, okay, I need this stuff delivered at a certain time, and then they're waiting for it to be delivered so then that way they can start building the house. And many times what you'll see is you'll see a whole bunch of stacked lumber that's got plastic over it delivered to the house, and it's just sitting there. So that way they can start building any time once the lumber and all the stuff is delivered. It's kind of the same way for the Christian. Once a person gets saved, at that moment, you receive everything that you would ever need to build upon that foundation. It's just like the Lord has taken all the things that you need and have it delivered, and now you've got the foundation. The only thing you need to do now is start building building the life that God wants you to build. Start building on the foundation. He's given you everything. And he says he's given us all things to pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so then look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now watch. And besides this, now he's already given you the materials. What are you supposed to do with those materials? We start building. Verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Question, who's your faith in? Jesus Christ. You've got your foundation. Now all of a sudden you're going to start adding to that foundation. You're going to put up a wall. You're going to put up some 2x4s. Whereby are you, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What he's saying is this, is now that you have the foundation, you're supposed to build upon that foundation. And as you add this, and then you add something else, and then you add something else, and you add something else, and then pretty soon you're building upon that foundation. And you're supposed to be adding these things. And so he's telling us that once we're saved by putting our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and after we have the rock for sure, as our sure foundation, we're to start to build our house. We're to start to build a godly life so that this temple of God that he dwells in is suitable to him. And we're to use those materials that God has given us. And those materials he's given us are listed here. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. And I want us to look at each one of these things this morning, each one of these materials that God says that we are to build our godly life with. So look at the first one. And once you're saved, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it says that we are to add to our foundation virtue. Verse 5 says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue here means high moral standards. It's behaving like sons of God should behave. How many of you have heard somebody, I remember growing up, my dad wouldn't have to say it very often. Usually he just gave me a look, what the look is. You men should know what the look is because sometimes your wife gives you that look. Amen? That look of saying, you need to stop whatever you're doing. Well, I remember this. I remember one time, my dad would look at me and he'd say, behave yourself. Now, that's the only warning I got. Because when he said behave yourself, that meant I better behave myself. Now, I can tell you that once you're a child of God, God can sometimes tell you to behave yourself. What does that mean? That means that if we're children of God, we should act like children of God. Amen? I mean, that's a part of it. I mean, I'm not saying be somebody you're not, but what I am saying is this. If you're going to be a child of God, let's act like you're a child of God. We don't need to be acting like the world. And so he's telling you the first thing that you do after you get saved, you add to that faith virtue. Sad truth is there are many people who don't act like the sons of God. I mean, they have lowered their moral standards to the point where sometimes it's hard to distinguish them from the lost. But building a godly life begins with living godly. Therefore, every born-again believer should add to his life virtue. And then the second material we're to use when we build our godly life is knowledge. Verse 5, it says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Now, the kind of knowledge we're talking about here is the knowledge of God. It's the knowledge of the Scriptures. Bible tells you in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It says that we are to study our Bibles. By the way, he didn't suggest it. He said, study your Bibles. Study your Bible. You say, why? Because, listen, if you're going to build a godly life, how are you going to do it if you don't know how to live a godly life? You know how you find out how to live godly? You know how you find out how to please God? By staying in the book. You're not going to find out how to please God by talking to the world, folks. You're not going to find out how to please God by reading some other books. You got to find it from hearing from God himself. He has to be the one that said, listen, this is the things I like. This is the things I don't like. This is how you please me. This is how you displease me. It's all right there. So does it make sense if we're going to build upon that foundation, we probably need to read our Bibles? We need to study our Bibles. We're going to add to virtue knowledge. And then on top of that knowledge, it says that we are to add temperance. self-control. It says to acknowledge temperance. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9:25. It says, "And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things." We are to have moderation in everything that we do. You can't build a godly life without temperance. Then the next material we're to add to, when we're building our godly life, is patience. Now, I know this is a tough one. This is the part of the building that we don't like to add very often. But it says we're to add patience. It says, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience. We're to have patience with two groups or with two people. Number one, we're to have patience with God. Amen? Now, that's a problem that we have a lot of times. When we pray, we want God to answer that prayer right now. We want God to answer that prayer in our time. But how many of you can attest this morning that in the times past you have prayed for things that you weren't ready to get at that point? Until later on, and God did give you that thing, but you're thank God, boy, I'm glad he didn't give it to me when I was younger. I wasn't ready for it. You know what that means? That means God knows a little bit more than we do. He knows what's good for us. He knows what we can handle. He knows all these things. But we're not patient with God. We should be patient. In fact, we should be so patient that when we pray for something and we don't get it, and we ask for something and we don't get it, we need to praise God that we don't get it right then and there. You know why? Because God knows more than us. God's never going to give you something that's going to be bad for you. God is never going to answer a prayer when he knows it's going to trip you up. He's not going to do that. He's going to give you what's best for you. Aren't you parents the same way? I mean, when I grew up, I wanted a candy bar every time we went to the gas station. But I didn't get one every time I went to the gas station. You know why? Because my parents knew more than me. They say, hey, if I give him a candy bar every time he wants it, but for starters, he'll be a spoiled brat, and for two, all of his teeth going to fall out. Amen? Amen? So what did they do? They said, no, I will give him, you know, and every now and then I get one of us good, you know, but I never got one every time I wanted it. Now, I tell you, sometimes when we pray for God, we need to have patience. We need to wait for it to happen in God's time. I tell you this, folks, if you're not patient with God and you don't wait upon him, you're going to get yourself in trouble.
That's right.
If you don't believe that, you read the account about Abraham. Remember God told Abraham, I'll give you a son? Abraham and Sarah couldn't wait. And this whole world's been paying for it ever since.
Mm. Yep.
Amen. He took things in his own hands. We need to wait upon the Lord. We need to be patient with him. We also need to be patient with other people. And I know that's tough too. But we're to be patient with others. And it's hard to be patient with people sometimes, considering that how people are. And you know, one of the things that I don't particularly care for is when somebody says, listen, I'm going to do something. You can count on me. And then they don't do it. You know, sometimes I lose patience. I shouldn't. Let me tell you why I shouldn't. Because how many times have I told God the same thing? Lord, I'll do that. And then I don't do that. Lord, you can count on me. Aren't you glad that God has been giving you patience? Now, aren't you glad that God gave you patience, was patient with you, waiting for you to get saved? Aren't you thankful that God has patience with you even today? The promises that we make to the Lord. Lord, I'll never do that again. You can count on me. But yet that besetting sin comes around again. You know, God gives us a lot of patience, folks. He's very patient with us. We need to be patient with other people because God is patient with us. We're to add patience. And then the next thing on the list, we're also to add to our godly life godliness. It says to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. How many times have you heard somebody say that person there is godly? That's a very godly person. He's a very godly man. Sometimes we look at that and we say a person's godly because we see the things that he does and the things that he doesn't do. But may I tell you, godliness is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's thinking the thoughts of Christ and responding to things the way Christ would respond to those things. Philippians 2 verses 3 through 5 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Looking not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what it's talking about when it's talking about godliness. Being like Christ. Being like Christ. Having the mind of Christ. That's what godliness is all about. We're to add that. We're to add that to our faith. Then the next thing we're to add to we're building a godly life is brotherly kindness. You know, in every family, brothers and sisters sometimes bicker between themselves. And it's the same way with God's family. I've told people before, listen, I don't care how long you look for it, you will not find the perfect church. You know why? Because there's no such thing as perfect people. There's only been one perfect person, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can't find a perfect church because, listen, I personally think this is a great church. I mean, I look around, I see all y'all smiling faces. I can't believe I just said y'all from the pulpit. My past coming back from me. But you know, I see all the smiling faces, and I think this is a great church. But it's not a perfect church. You don't have a perfect pastor either. Now, a lot of pastors think they're perfect, but they're not. I'm not a perfect pastor. You're not perfect people. This is not a perfect church. But may I tell you that even though we're not perfect, sometimes we get along, sometimes we don't. Now, you go in any family, especially in my house. You know, there are days when it's just great. Everybody's getting along. But then there are some days that I'm sitting there studying, and I'll hear, and finally I'm like, enough! And then everything, then you can hear nothing but the crickets. And then I hear them go somewhere else in the backyard. You know? Why? Sometimes, you know, brothers and sisters don't get along. It's going to happen. But we are to show brotherly kindness to each one of us. Even though the other one may be driving you crazy, be kind to them. Be nice to them. Amen? You know, one thing I was told years ago that's absolutely true, and that's this. Everybody wakes up on the wrong side of the bed every now and then. Amen? And because of that, don't you want grace when you wake up on the wrong side of the bed?
Yes.
Be kind to others, because chances are the person you're talking to has already woken up on the wrong side of the bed. Amen? And you say, well, I can't be kind to them. Then walk away. Amen? I mean, just walk away. Be a Joseph. When the temptation comes to get mad, just leave. Run out the door. We're to have brotherly kindness, and then we're to put on what I call the roof of charity on the house that we're building. Verse 7, it says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, when you read your Bible, you'll find out that every time that the word charity is used, it is used in the context of believers. You'll never find the word charity in your Bible ever used in the context where there are unbelievers present. And what that means is this. When it talks about charity, it's talking about the love that we are to have between Christians. How many of you understand that we all have a common thing between us? You know what that is? The Holy Spirit of God dwells in every one of us. And because of that, the love that we have, because we have the Holy Spirit within us, we have those fruits of the Spirit within us. That means we are capable of giving the love of God to somebody else. That's charity, the charity we have between Christians. And it tells you here that if you're going to build a godly life, you need to get along with Christians, brotherly kindness, and then you need to love Christians. Now, I know I'm tough to love, and I know there's some other people that are tough to love, but you're supposed to love them anyway. Why is that? Because God loves you. Because Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you. And you know what we're to be? We're supposed to be like Christ. Amen? We're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. How can you be conformed to the image of Christ if you don't love other people? How can you be conformed to the image of Christ if you're not patient with other people? If you don't show brotherly kindness to other people? If you don't love the brethren? Do you realize that Bible tells you that one of the ways you know you're saved is because you love the brethren?
That's right.
I'd say it's pretty important. If you're going to build a godly life, if you're going to build upon this foundation, and you're going to add this gold, silver, and precious stones that God wants you to add so that you can have a life, so that you can have a temple that's made for a king, something that will glorify him, you've got to add these things. And by the way, these are the things that God said, I want my place, my temple to be built with. Every one of them. So that means if you're out there and you're trying to build your temple, and you're using things like jealousy and pride and things like that, you know what you're building it with? Wood, hay, and stubble. God's told you what to build it with. He's told you what to add to your faith. All these things. He says in Colossians 3:14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Above all these things. That's the reason I call it the roof of charity. It's the most important thing. So we understand exactly how to build the godly life. We know what to build it with. And then the third thing the Bible tells us about building a godly life is that it's a process that takes work and time. Let's take a look at verse 5 again. There in 2 Peter it says, "And besides this, giving all diligence." That is, we are to work at it. We are to keep our mind on it, spend some time with it. In other words, we give all diligence to add these things. Philippians 2:12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." It doesn't mean you work for your salvation. It means you work out your salvation. In other words, once you are saved, you need to do some things. You need to start adding to the foundation. You start to add these things. That's what it's talking about. And we're to add these materials that we just looked at. And do you think it's going to be easy to have patience with people every day? That's not going to be easy. You think it's going to be easy to have temperance? It's going to take some effort. I mean, you just can't just say, okay, I'll be patient with people, and then all of a sudden you are. Nobody can do that. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some time. And you say, well, how much time is it going to take? Well, the rest of your lives. That's how long it's going to take for you to continue to build upon these things. You say, well, why? It seems like when the Lord says that we're to add temperance and we're to add brotherly kindness and we're to add godliness and we're to add all these things, you think after a while that my building would be built and I'd have the perfect life. Listen, there are people today that think they've arrived. There are people today that teach that you can arrive on this side of eternity. You can't. You will always be building upon your faith. You know why? Because there are storms that come. You know, I used to live north of town. There's a family in here that knows exactly where I used to live, north of town. And there used to be the property we had this a lean-to. And I had my horse under that lean-to. And when they built that lean-to, I didn't notice it at the time. But you know, when you put the roof on, you're supposed to put on these metal braces that connect the boards going this way with your roof. And really, the thing had been there for a long time. You know why? Because the way it was leaning, the south winds would come up, and it was leaning like this, so the south winds would push down on the roof. Everything was great. Until one day, the winds came from the northeast. And I'm sitting there looking, and boy, that wind's blowing. I was like, whoa, I've never seen the wind blow from this direction before. And it was, whoo, this is blowing. And all of a sudden, I'm looking out there at my lean-to, my horse is going crazy. She doesn't know what to do. And I see shingles flying off of that lean-to. And then all of a sudden, that whole roof just went into orbit. It was just gone. It was gone. You know what happened? The storm took that roof right off of my lean-to. You know what I had to do? I had to go out there after the storm was over and rebuild my lean-to. And this time I used braces. Amen? Because I wasn't that north wind coming through there. I wasn't going to see that happen again. What I'm trying to say is this, folks. As you're building upon your foundation, and as you add patience, and you add brotherly kindness, and you add temperance, and you add all these things, there are going to be storms that come through, and it's going to rip a shingle off here, it's going to rip a board off there. And you know what you're going to have to do? You have to keep on building. You have to keep on building. I'll tell you something else that'll rip those things off too, and that's sin. Because we mess up from time to time. We start to build it, and we're starting to, but just when we think, boy, I'm starting to be conformed to the image of Christ, I am something now. You know what that's called? Pride. You know, and it says that with pride comes destruction. With sin, sin is going to tear off a board every now and then. What I'm trying to say is this, is you will never, ever reach perfection on this side because we're all sinners and ain't a perfect person amongst us. You're never going to reach perfection on this side because some storm's going to come down and it's going to shake your faith. It's going to rattle you clean to the bone. All the way down to your foundation. Now that foundation is sure. That foundation ain't going nowhere. That foundation can't be shooken. That foundation is standing right there. But everything that's built on there can blow this way or blow that way and a piece come off here. And I tell you, you're going to keep on building it, keep on building it, keep on building it until one of these days, when the Lord takes you home, your work will be done and you will be in the image of Christ. Now, I'm just going to ask you this morning, number one, what foundation do you have your life based on? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have the rock as your foundation? If you are trusting in anything else to get you to heaven this morning, your everything that you build, your whole life that you build is based on false things, and it will come to an end, and your whole life is vain, because when you die, you will spend eternity in hell. But if you build your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior, you've got a sure foundation. And listen, it's so sure that you're going to make it to heaven. It's so sure that you never have to worry about that. He is a sure foundation. That's a rock. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? And if you have, are you building upon that faith that you have? And if you are building upon that faith, what kind of materials are you using? Are you using the right materials? Are you using gold, silver, and precious stones? Are you using wood, hay, and stubble? Which ones are you using? God says, I want you to build it with certain things. Brotherly kindness, patience, temperance, those type of things. Gold, silver, precious stones. Are you using those things? Are you adding those things to your faith? Are you doing it every day? I tell you this, I've seen a lot of Christians that have gone through things, and they just, when something bad happens, they just quit going to church. Something bad happens, they just give up on God. Something bad happens, they just quit reading their Bible. You know what's happened? They started building, but now that godly life started to look a little bit shabby. Got a window broken over here, part of the roof's off over there. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you need to do some work. Maybe you need to start adding some things. Maybe you don't have the patience that you should have. Maybe you don't have the brotherly kindness that you should have. Maybe you're not showing that charity that the Bible speaks of. Are you building upon that faith this morning? Let's stand.